And so we've chosen another verse for today that deals with this same concept of wisdom. And maybe you saw this one in your mailbox today, if you checked that before you came here. The passage comes from the book of James. This is what it says. The wisdom that is from above. Remember the last one was apply your heart to wisdom, that you might gain a heart of wisdom. Now, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is how that wisdom's to be. So today I'd just like to talk to you about this wisdom from this passage. It's a great passage of Scripture, but like all passages of Scripture, they're found within the context of a setting and a circumstance. And so what I'd like to do is have you look at it with me. I'd like to ask you, what is wisdom? Well, here's a definition from a dictionary. Wisdom is a quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. I always like how dictionaries use the same word to tell you what the word means. And a second definition is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of such experience, knowledge, and good judgment. All right, I like that one because that's what you do. Because that's what wisdom is. It's what you do. And when you apply your heart to wisdom, things happen. Paula, come here for a minute. Paula had a neat thing take place in her life. Tell them what took place in your life.
Okay, y'all might have remembered last year I got up here and shared with you about assisting basketball coach for varsity girls, and that there was one lady that the coach was having a big challenge with her attitude, and you know, which of course spread to the rest of the team, and the coach was not getting through to her, having conversations with her, and so he dumped her onto me and said that she was now my problem and that I needed to address her, talk to her about her attitude. And of course I didn't like that. I like to be the good cop. And so when I had gone to her, I had come to her, asked her what I could do to help her. And of course she replied in her teenage remark, "Stop talking to me." I asked her if I could pray for her and had put my hand on her shoulder and had been praying for her and praying that indeed she could not do anything about what she was doing, that the Lord was going to have to be working through her. And the Lord gave me words of wisdom to pray over her. Well, this young lady, of course, had a drastic change because the Lord did a great heart surgery on her. And I've continued to build relationship with this young lady and gone to her soccer games and volleyball games and other things she's a part of. And a couple weeks ago, my Hannah plays volleyball at the Y. And this teenage girl got up at 8:30 in the morning and came to watch Hannah play volleyball and started speaking into her life about volleyball and just some really sweet things. So I took that, but I did nothing. All I did was pray one time with this young lady. And the Lord has taken that one moment to bless her, myself, and now my daughter. So I'm just thankful for that.
Yeah, and that's good. Do you understand? She did the wise thing. Because what would the world have said to do? You go to the gal and you say, "All right, you straighten up or else," right? Lecture. Go after her. Attacker. That would be the approach. But what Paula did was she came and humbly asked, "How can I help you? Because you evidently have troubles." And then she prayed for her. And God worked. You see, that's applying wisdom. That's doing the wise thing. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, Solomon writes, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." You remember he said that because there was this time, it's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, where after he's made king over Israel, he leaves Jerusalem and goes down to where the remnants of the tabernacle is to offer sacrifices before the Lord. Remember the Ark of the Covenant's in Jerusalem. But he goes down to the tabernacle and offers sacrifice. And he does that. God meets him at night in a dream. And God says, what do you want? I'll give it to you. You remember what he asked for, right? He asked for wisdom. And God said, because you did not ask for the head of your enemies, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for riches, but asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you the other things too. And I'm going to bless you. Wisdom, extremely important concept and quality for us to have. Jesus used a construction story one time as he was telling his story. He's a great storyteller. And he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descend and the floods come and the wind blew and beat the house. And it fell. And great was its fall. Throughout history, there are pictures all over the place of the folly of man's wisdom. We find them in the Bible. I'll just limit myself there because when I started thinking on history, I just got too many. And we could have gone for hours just on the folly of man's wisdom. But the Tower of Babel, God said to spread out. They said, no, we're going to consolidate. You know what it ended up with? Confusion, trouble, strife. There was the time that Abraham followed conventional wisdom. I mean, there was a famine in the land. What do? You got to have food, right? And so what he did was he went to Egypt. And when he went to Egypt, you know what he got? Not a lot more than he bargained for. He comes back with Hagar. And today, we have still the remnants of that union between Hagar and Abraham. And it affects our world drastically. Wisdom. It's a principal thing. You need to get it. Because if you use conventional wisdom, there'll be consequences for walking that way too. I mean, you remember Lot looked and they had trouble with the herds because they had too many herds. And Abraham said to Lot, all right, you choose. You take whatever portion you want. I'll take the other one. And Lot looked and you know what he did? He used the wisdom of the world. And he took the best land, the best stuff. It was towards Sodom. You remember that? And slowly he made his way into Sodom. Slowly he made his way into leadership in Sodom. And eventually he lost everything. All that he had worked for, everything. Because of a choice that he made that was not wise. Saul, when Goliath was out there, was scared to fight him. But David came forth with zeal to take on Goliath. But you remember what Saul said? Here, take my armor. Now, Saul was head and shoulders above David. He was tall. He was the guy you want to have king. And David, they wouldn't fit David. And it was folly to give that to David. David went out with what he knew, which was his sling and God. And we know the story of his defeat of the giant Goliath. The disciples wanted to send away the crowds because they looked and they said, we have 5,000 men plus women and children. 200 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. 200 denarii is not enough to buy enough food for these people. We need to send them away. But you remember, Jesus had other things going. He wanted them to feed him with what he provided for them to feed him with. You remember what it was? Five little pieces of fish and two loaves of bread. And the loaves are not loaves. They're two little biscuits and five little pickled fish. And he fed the whole place. And there was Paul, you remember? When he stands on the ship as it's falling apart in a hurricane. And he says, I told you we shouldn't have sailed. But they all used the wisdom that was earthly. And they made a decision that cost the ship. It was Paul's visit from the angel that told him that they'd all make it. They were to trust and stay on the ship. It would be lost, but they would live if they stayed on the ship. Wisdom is not a characteristic, though, that we can claim for ourselves. A lot of people try to do that, and it shows they show up this fact that they aren't wise. It's a quality recognized by others. And true wisdom is measured by the depth of a person's character and the person's actions, because that shows you what wisdom is. Now, there are two types of wisdom. The first type, turn with me in your Bible if you've got it, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. There's two types of wisdom, and there's a couple passages in the Scriptures that speak about this. I'll just go to these two, this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then also in James. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the nature of the gospel. And he says, verse 18, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.'" That's a passage from Isaiah. Verse 20, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen these things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" There's a world wisdom, and then there's God's wisdom. And the two many times are polar opposites. Now, go with me over to the book of James. I mean, this great little passage in James. James has a lot of neat little things to say. You know who James was? He was the half-brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. And he did not believe that Jesus was Messiah. Can you imagine that? He grew up in the home with Mary and Joseph and the other children and Jesus, and he didn't believe that Jesus was Messiah. He made fun of him like other people in their town did. Probably a strong defense mechanism to deal with all the stuff they were having to take. But he didn't believe in him. But after the resurrection, he believed in him. And he believed in him and became actually the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Remember after the persecution took, people started leaving? James stayed there. And James, as he writes his little book, we tend to think as you read through the book that it's made up of a bunch of sermons that James preached. Because there are just these little paragraph packets, and then he changes and goes to another one, another one, another one, another one. And they're just really neat. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, he has this neat statement. You'll probably find this as a verse one someday. But it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given him. Isn't it great to know that God gives you the wisdom if you need it, if you want it? And what can you ask wisdom for? Well, anything that you lack wisdom on. How much do you lack wisdom? A lot. Yeah, sure. Because we're so motivated by the society in which we live, we tend to want to run after what everybody else is doing. But that's as dumb as it was when our parents said, if somebody told you, if everybody was jumping off the roof, would you jump off the roof? I mean, you know, it's still dumb, even though we're adults. If you watch the same thing everybody does and go that way, you probably are going to get burned. But in chapter 3, as James is talking, he talks about this unique type of wisdom that God provides for us. And he really contrasts it with the wisdom of the world. Look at what he says. Let me just read with you this passage. Verse 13 of James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Well, that's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? Who's wise among you? Let it be shown. And let it be shown by meekness of wisdom. Meekness, by the way, does not mean weakness. The meekest horse, using the biblical definition, the meekest horse is the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby and then goes on to win the Triple Crown. It's not weakness. It's power under control. That's the word meekness. So you got all your power under control. It's not just having power. It's really under control. And then he says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil things are there. And so he defines this earthly wisdom that we see around. He says this earthly wisdom many times has within it bitter envy and self-seeking in its heart. You know, and I see that, don't you? When people are giving their opinions strongly and sometimes they get stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, it's because many times because they're envious of what other people have in the prestige and the power and position they have. And many times it's coming straight from their own heart. They're just self-seeking. They want to get above other people, so they throw this out to do that. And they come with that. So many times that's the motivation of earthly wisdom. But not only does that have motivation, James talks and says, this did not come down from above, but instead it's earthly. That means it goes with the world standards. It goes with the idea that people have out in the world. This is how we think you ought to do it. Do you know those things change? They change with age. As time passes, they just change. It's amazing how it's like clothes. Have you noticed, guys will recognize this with ties. Have you noticed ties? I mean, what happens to be in is the real thin little ones, or then you have the big wide ones. And those change regularly. Let me tell you, earthly wisdom's much that same way. I'm not talking about scientific evidence. I'm talking about earthly wisdom as they're trying to put things together. You had a bunch of scientists look at how we're supposed to eat, and they came up with stuff a number of years ago. And then recently they just came and totally redid that. Well, quite frankly, it wasn't necessarily based on scientific fact. It was based on how they put things together. And it became the wisdom that they put forth out of what the findings were. I tell you what, we got to watch out for that, because it's real easy. I don't know what it is for me. It's real easy to slip into just doing what the experts say. You know what an expert is? It's somebody from out of town who comes in to tell you how to do something. Then they leave again. Those are the experts. They don't live with you. They aren't there. So we need to just watch and be very careful about the earthly standards. We need to check with God. And it's sensual. What that means is it appeals to your emotions. It appeals to your feelings. It appeals to your senses, you know? I mean, I just feel good about this, I've heard people say. It might just be that you didn't eat the wrong thing today, you know? I mean, how you feel, that changes like the weather. And the last thing he says is it's demonic. And that's a rather interesting statement, that it's demonic. It's the stuff that Satan and his company have, and they can manipulate and move around. But if you watch the world setting, you see that's sort of how wisdom runs. And it gets manipulated and changed, and it's wild to see this taking place. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the three enemies we face. And I thought it's very interesting that we face the world, the flesh, and the devil kind of interesting, isn't it? That the wisdom from earth is earthly, from the world, sensual, from the flesh, and demonic. It's real easy to go with what people say rather than going with what God says. I mean, I've said for years, I think wisdom has left our country. Because it follows earthly ways, ideas that people have come up with to try this. This is a theory. It's built off theories that they try. Social theories, economic theories. It's very sensual because they feed it to get people to get excited about it. They want to have this because they push on desires that people have. And I think Satan's involved in a lot of that control. And then he says in verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are." So these concepts are pushed, again, by envy and self-seeking, and it brings about confusion. I went and looked at that Greek word. It's kind of interesting, that word confusion. It means instability, but it also is translated anarchy. You know what anarchy is? It's where you don't have any rule of law anymore. I think it's kind of interesting that you have, even taking place around the world today, people out protesting, and when you find out what they're protesting about, it almost is different upon every single person that you ask. There's a tremendous amount of confusion. There's a tremendous amount of instability, and it moves to anarchy. What the people who are involved in anarchy do not understand is anarchy throughout all history has simply brought about tyranny. It brings about a dictator, somebody who comes in and mows down the crowd in order to maintain authority and strength. And they just do not know their history. They do not know what humans continually do in their lives that are separated from God. And so we have earthly wisdom. This is the way that earthly wisdom operates. In contrast to that, he talks about the way of heavenly wisdom. Because you see, the earthly wisdom, it extols these virtues. Power. We want to have power. We want to change things. A lot of times you get change you can step in. Position. I want to be higher than anybody else. Privilege. I mean, this is I deserve it too. And prestige. Now, before we start pointing fingers, remember the disciples one day were arguing. This is on the last day that Jesus is with them in His life. The last day He's earthly with them. And they're arguing before they go into the upper room to have the last meal. They're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. You know why? Because worldly wisdom says, if you have a king, you need to get in position yourself properly so you have the power. Well, in contrast to that is heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown by peace and those who make peace. And so you have this contrasting way. It's the wisdom that's from above. Yeah, there are a lot of things in the Scriptures that are from above. James says, every good gift comes from the Father above. Philippians, Paul writes in chapter 3 and verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. You know where that is? Above. I know it's not technically up. It's in another dimension, but that's how we sort of refer to it. You know where we have our Father? He's in heaven in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. If you have treasure on earth, moth's going to get it, inflation's going to wipe it out, right? Or people will steal it from you. But if you've been giving, then your treasure will be in heaven. We're born from above. Jesus told us in John chapter 3. Our home is in heaven. Jesus said He's going to prepare a place for us. And He'll come back and receive us to that place. And in Colossians, Paul talks about us setting our affections on thing above. So this is wisdom coming from a good place. And he says, this wisdom, first of all, and it's an interesting word because it's putting, this is the top quality about it. It's pure. It's pure. It means it's free from the corruption that characterizes godly wisdom. You know what that was? Selfish ambition. Wanting to get ahead. That wisdom is going for self. This wisdom has God being the person we're wanting to operate with and walk with. It describes the condition of the heart and the manifestation of that condition in our behavior. It's pure. It's pure. It doesn't have any of the contaminant things of the world. But it's peaceable. Peaceable. That means it holds very firm to truth, but it makes every effort to be at peace with folks. It really goes out of its way to be peaceful, but it doesn't give in. It's not peace at any cost. It understands there are reasons to stand. And Paul talks about that in Romans. We can't give in. We have to stand. But you do it in a way where it's with peace. I mean, the Scriptures talk about speaking the truth, but you do it in an attitude of love. Now, I've seen people try and do that, but they're awful hot when they're saying it. Well, I love you, but they're yelling at you. And they're not really speaking in love. They're speaking in anger. They're not speaking peaceable. I heard about a lady, a Hindu woman, who came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And when she did, her husband started really getting upset with her. He beat her a couple of times, but verbally he would abuse her regularly. And the pastor of the church asked her, what do you do when he does those things? And she says, when he yells at me, I cook his meals better. When he gets real upset with me, I clean the house more and work and do everything I can to provide for him in what he needs. I want to show him that since I've come to Jesus, I'm a better mother and wife than I've ever been before. Well, the man argued a lot about Christianity, but the thing he could not argue with was the character change in his wife. And he became a Christian. Peaceable. Instead of antagonistic, you are peaceable. Gentle. It's a neat word here. It means gentle reasonableness. It means moderation without compromise. It's a gentleness without weakness. Sandburg, the poet called, the writer called Abraham Lincoln a man who was velvet steel. I think that's a good phrase with it. You're strong, and yet there's this element in you where you'll be gentle. There's a reasonableness about it. John Wesley was with a friend one time, and they were doing things together, and this friend had offered to help John Wesley out an awful lot. So Wesley had some things that needed to be delivered to another pastor, and he told his friend, go deliver those to him right now. Well, it was a Sunday morning. He wanted to wait and hear Wesley's sermon. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it now. And Wesley said, I really need you to do it now. He needs to get these. I'm not going to do it now. I'll do it after the sermon. And Wesley said, but he really needs to have them now. Would you please do it now? And he said, no, I will not. And John Wesley said, well, if you will not, then you don't not need to be in my company anymore. And he said, that's fine. The only problem was they were away from their normal place and they were rooming together in a house. And so they had a room in a house. And so he came back in later on that evening to sleep. And Wesley said, and, you know, I mean, they had broken their friendship off. They'd gone like no more together. And so he came in and Wesley said, are you ready now to apologize? And he said, no, I'm not. And he said, you won't extend to me an apology for not following what I ask you to do? No, I will not. And Wesley said, well, will you accept my apology for being too gruff in the setting and wanting my own way? Well, their relationship was healed. But you understand, it was a minor issue. And you can take many minor issues and not be gentle. You can be hard. And I will not give in. And that's the way it is with the world. You see, this is the concept that he continues on. It's yielding, willing to yield, agreeable. and easy to work with. Ready to hear both sides and not to get all blown out of shape. You don't move from wisdom. You just are not, you know, you recognize that you could be wrong too. So you're willing to listen. The problem is that men's wisdom often makes people hard and stubborn, and they won't move. James writes in the first chapter, in verse 9, he says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That's carried forth in this concept of the word willing to yield. Full of mercy. To be full means to be controlled by. And mercy is giving and extending to people what they don't deserve, but what they really need. And we're told in Luke, where Jesus speaks and says, "Be merciful as your Father is also merciful." So mercy is a quality characteristic of God that we should have. And he says, in this wisdom, it has good fruits without partiality. Good fruits, those are things that are good for others and not favoring one over the other. Because see, that can be a problem with people. They'll do things good for one and not with others. And so that's just how we tend to be as people. And without hypocrisy, not a play actor. God's wisdom is at work when there is openness and honesty. And whenever you find a people pretending, God's people pretending, you know that the wisdom that's controlling them is the world's wisdom, not God's wisdom. And then this is all thrown in peace. It's all put together out in peace. Whereas in the world there's envy and strife and confusion, with God's there is peace. So I've got a question for you. What type of wisdom do you operate in? The wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? It's a choice, and you get to make it all the time. You get to choose how you're going to operate. Well, I just want to encourage you. Go with the wisdom that's from above. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us wisdom, because you said that if we lack it, you'll give it to us liberally. And you won't get upset with us asking you for it. Therefore, we know that we can come time and time and time and time and time and time again. And you won't get upset with us asking for your wisdom. Thank you for giving us the Word of God, your Word that provides us with so much wisdom. But we thank you that you give us wisdom as we walk in the world if we simply ask. Would you make us be people by your grace who walk in wisdom from above? In Jesus' name we pray.